You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Family in their moment of such deep and profound loss.
The younger Biden was the Attorney General of Delaware but declined to seek a third term, saying he planned to run for governor next year. He was married with two children. Authorities say about 50 people in Salt Lake City's homeless shelter were taken to hospitals for suspected food poisoning. The health department is investigating. It is not clear what caused them to fall ill last night. Hundreds of people were in the shelter at the time. This is USA Headline News.
Now that Rite Aid has joined the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is even more rewarding because now you get a second easy way to save. That's right. On top of the amazing values you enjoy with Wellness Plus points, your new card gives you Plenty points, which can be earned in one place and used for savings in another. Earn and use your Plenty points at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon, and Mobil, and other participating partners. It's even more of the value you love. It's Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your new card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
The U.S. government has paid suspected Nazis millions in Social Security benefits. AP correspondent Rita Foley reports on the findings due to be released this week.
The Social Security Administration's Inspector General says that 133 suspected Nazi war criminals, SS guards, and others have been paid more than $20 million in Social Security benefits. Many lied about their past to come to the U.S. Some even became citizens. After they were found out, many agreed to leave the country if they could keep their benefits. The Justice Department denies using the payments as a way to expel the former Nazis. Rita Foley, Washington.
Former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert will be arraigned this week following an indictment that alleges he agreed to pay $3.5 million in hush money to someone from the town where he was once a teacher and coach. Court officials say the Illinois Republican is scheduled to be arraigned Thursday in U.S. District Court in Chicago. He was indicted last week on the count of evading bank regulations by withdrawing $952,000 in increments of less than $10,000. He is also charged with lying to the FBI. Whataburger says it's limiting its breakfast serving hours, citing egg shortages due to the Midwest bird flu crisis. The fast food chain previously served breakfast 12 hours a day. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says confirmed outbreaks in the Midwest have cost chicken and turkey producers over 44 billion birds. And egg prices have soared. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And we're live here at Hot in Hunterdon, and I'm Georgine Trinkle, your host today for our show. And today I have with me Monica Falcon, who has a master's in public health, and we're going to be talking about determinants of health and health in the community. And I hope everyone stays with us, learns a little bit more about some misconceptions about health and some of the social environments and our genetics. So it's going to be a great show. So welcome, Monica. I'm going to do a few little housekeeping items here, and then we will be able to talk to you live here in the studio at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington. So last week we talked about veterans and all of the different activities and services, as well as the lack of services, access to health care. Veterans have no access to dental care in most counties in New Jersey, and especially in Warren and Hunterdon, our veterans have very limited access to services. So I hope everyone was able to learn a little bit more about the struggles of our veterans and our homeless veterans that are here in New Jersey. And I wanted to end last Monday with a quote about a fallen Marine guarding the gates, and I wasn't able to find it. So I owe everyone that poem, which I don't have today, but I am going to make sure that we have that, which talks about Marines guarding the gates. So until then, today is June 1st, and we're definitely going to be talking about some interesting things today. And as always, here at Hot in Hunterdon, we start off with a quote. And our quote today is, "We cannot seek achievement for ourselves and forget about progress and prosperity for our community. Our ambitions must be broad enough to include the aspirations and needs of others for their sake and for our own." And that's really what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about our social environment and building our social environment in such a way that the health of our community is able to sustain itself and be strong and have resources. So I'm so glad Monica was able to come in today to talk on air in front of a microphone a little bit more about some things we don't always have the opportunity to talk in depth about. That's what we like to do here at Hot and Hunter, and we like to go a little bit deeper. So I'm really happy that we're going to be able to dispel some of the myths about health. In the meantime, I know everyone wants to know the weather, and I'm going to do that right after a commercial. So stay with us here at Hot and Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're here at Hot and Hunterdon to talk a little bit about the weather. And I know you think it's going to be hot because it's Hot and Hunterdon, but guess what? It's not so hot. We have a high of 68, and on my way into the studio here in Flemington, my car said 58 degrees. So that is a little bit chilly. We're still looking for some rain tonight and possibly, you know, a rare chance, but a possible chance of a thunderstorm today. We have some showers and thunderstorms into the morning, and then it looks like a little bit of rain tomorrow. But we have a high near 69 tomorrow and a 70% chance of about a half an inch of rain. The rest of the week is looking pretty good. Wednesday, slight chance of showers with a high of 70. And Thursday, we finally get to see the sun again. But we really can't complain about the rain because we definitely need it. Our flowers and our crops need it desperately. So hope that you all just remembered the sweater today. It's obviously very important. And I want to introduce my guest now is Monica Falcon. Monica, thank you so much for being with us here at Hot and Hunterdon.
Well, thank you, Georgine, for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. And we want to talk about the environment. And you have a master's in public health. And I know you've been working a lot about finding the environment issues and how they relate to our health. So really, I appreciate you being here to talk about some of the things that you've learned in the community and specifically in Hunterdon County.
I'm happy to talk about this because surprisingly, I think that people don't understand the whole concept of health, which has much more to do than our genetics, you know, our biology, what we've inherited from from our parents. People don't realize that your social environment. Now, I'm not talking right now about air pollution and climate change, so that's a piece of it as well. But our social environment and our socioeconomic status and how that impacts human health.
Now, for our listeners who are thinking social, does she mean who I hang around with, my mm-hmm. social connections, or my social Facebook media? But that's not what you mean at all, is it?
No, not that. When we talk about the social determinants of health and public health, we mean several things. We mean our psychological situation, how much stress we have in our life. This determines our health. But even more important than that, we look at socioeconomic status. In other words, what type of job do I have? How much education do I have? Do I have more than a high school diploma? We look at, are you able to work in meaningful kind of work? And not to say that all work isn't meaningful to some extent, but do you have the type of job where you can dictate the surroundings, or are you an hourly worker who can't take off, when you need to see a physician, or can't make decisions in the workplace, or perhaps your workplace isn't safe?
I think about that a lot when I think about the factors of our employment. We have a lot of non-hourly wage earners who have the most stressful jobs, who work on deadlines all the time, make themselves sick on deadlines. And then we have a lot of what's typically proletarian or blue-collar workers whose environment is often toxic, or working with chemicals. My grandfather worked in a dye factory.
Exactly.
And those things also add, and then I always think about, we often don't find out about it until years later, and I know the Erin Brockovich movie, mm-hmm. it's based on a true story, and I know they took a lot of liberties with that, but I think about all of the companies around here, even Manville, asbestos, right?
Asbestos, and Tom's River is one of the more toxic areas, and I don't recall the particular business, and I probably wouldn't mention it even if I did, but for many years there was a chemical dump that took place in the city of Tom's River. There's a book on it now. You could check Google or Amazon. I'm sure you'd find it. And just talking about, the prolonged health problems that people in parts of that community had that have been, exposed to those chemicals over the years.
I remember HBO did a documentary about a car manufacturer's paint and the exposure to an entire community who had so many different types of cancers. And it wasn't for decades mm-hmm. until children of children from that community had the same health conditions, that it was tied back to their environment, their work environment.
Absolutely. It can be dreadful. And this is the basis of a John Grisham novel that then became a movie. But, it had to do with exposure to benzene, which is a known carcinogenic chemical.
And I love when Hollywood infuses some truth into things, but it's really ripe with it. We could just look at the Superfund site, right, Monica,
Absolutely.
For New Jersey, and see all the sites that weren't cleaned up. Even when there are lawsuits, I know the Passaic River, there was a chemical company in Passaic, and they were supposed to clean the Passaic River, and it's still on the Superfund site. It's
Absolutely.
Still toxic.
Yeah, I think there's one in Bergen County as well. I mean, they all pale in comparison to the Gowanus Canal in New York City.
It's true. And you think about New Jersey, and I think we do top the list on those things.
Unfortunately, we do. We have some positive things as well. Hopefully, we can get to later.
Absolutely. I know you want to talk about Hunterdon County being number one for the county health rankings that recently came out, which looks at several factors. So we'll definitely get to that for certain. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back and talking a little bit more about genetics and about the interaction of the environment with genetics. So stay with us here at Hunt and Hunterdon.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Yeah.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we're back here live at Hot in Hunterdon. I'm Georgine Trinkle, your host, and I have with me my special guest, Monica Falcon, and we're talking about genetics and the environment and how there are different factors like work or where you live that play into your health. And I know we wanted to talk a little bit about genetics. So what does that really mean?
Although we can't alter our genetics, obviously, you know, we have our birthright, but considering that and considering how much attention, you know, we give to family medical history, and that is important, our genetic endowment really makes up a relatively small portion of our overall health. You know, it contributes less than 10%. So this means to all of us that our genetics is not our destiny.
I think people would be surprised at that, Monica. I think they would think, oh, you know, I can't control my health to some extent, but really 90% of it can be controlled.
You can control more than you think, and it's simpler than you think. There are certain health behaviors that are completely under our control. They are modifiable. I call them the core four. I've seen, because I'm a Yankee fan, I have seen other authors refer to them as the fatal four. You know, they're taking them the other way.
What are they?
Well, we need to maintain a normal weight, which is a problem for a lot of Americans. You know, we need to eat properly. And by that, I mean, you know, what your mom told you. 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. You know, actually, 7 to 10 is even better. You know, low-fat, high-fiber diet, you know, avoiding those things we like sugar and fat. We need to make sure that we get a reasonable amount of exercise. The Centers for Disease Control recommends about 150 minutes per week. That's not a lot. You know, you can do a modest amount of walking a day. But the most important thing on that list is not smoking. And if you smoke, try to stop as quickly as you can.
Okay, so no padding over fat on the stomach. That is bad. So those are...
It's not good.
And the I know a lot of the drive-thru people, and people I love like to go through the drive-thru once in a while. It's not good. And even though they have some different healthier choices than in the past, I think anything that has you eating while you're driving is bad. It's very bad. And that's part of it too, isn't it? Taking the time to eat a well-balanced meal, to relax while you're eating, to actually stop eating when you're hungry and not just continue to eat. Thinking about your intake of food.
You know, you are absolutely right. And there, What you have, there's so much in what you said. You know, first off, let's think about our food. Let's think about where it comes from. You know, at Zufall this summer, we have two community garden plots in Morristown. We're going to grow fresh vegetables. We're going to use them in our cooking classes at the Zufall Wellness Center. As far as what we eat, I know we're all overworked, overtaxed, too much to do. It is easy. It's easy for me, too. Stop and pick up takeout food. Eat it in front of the TV. Eat it in front of my phone. You know. And we've lost touch with, first off, you know, how many calories we're taking in because we're not listening to the signal in our brain that says, okay, you can stop. I'm full now. You know, we just keep going.
Just keep eating until the, I don't know, whatever bag of chips or popcorn is gone. And you really don't have to, you can still have even the chips. They have sun-baked chips. They have low-fat, you know, items that you can pick up that you'll feel so much better if you have behaviors that are healthy. And 150 minutes of exercise, I hadn't heard that one, but that does make sense. But whatever people can do, even if they can only, you know, do 10 minutes of sit-ups or, you know, 5 minutes of push-ups, whatever you can do in a day is better than not doing anything.
Better than nothing. And most of us, myself included, there are days when I'm at work that I sit for 7.5 hours, you know, working on whatever project it is, if it's research or whatever, and I don't think to get up, I don't think to go to the restroom, you know, you get in the moment. So I have set my phone, I have set the timer on my phone if I do nothing more than to stand up every hour or so. And it's helped my back. It's helped my mind. You know, I recommend people need to do this. Simple changes.
Absolutely. And it's so funny you say that. I work in a very stressful office. We have a lot of work that has a high output. We have a lot of deadlines. And it started as a joke. Maritza in my office started this. When she would have to go to the bathroom, she'd have so much to do. So now we say we're going to treat ourselves. That's basically what it is. You have to take a moment to run to go to the restroom. She'd been drinking water all day, and you don't want to leave the phone or your project or you're trying to submit something. And it actually is a treat. And that's just so wrong, Monica. That is so wrong. But that is the work environment and one of the social factors that you were talking about with your health.
We have gotten to that point, that's for sure. So when we think about all these things, how little we move, we eat the wrong things, we're undergoing tremendous stress. This is why, and well, this is one of the reasons why Americans' health is not as good as most people would expect, and is far below the health of people in other industrial nations.
And I look at that a lot of times, and I look at the plate from different countries, what different people consume in their normal everyday diet, and it seems like other countries consume so much more in vegetables and fruit than meat products, say, for example, than the United States. And I think we know this, but our plate hasn't really shifted.
No, I mean, despite the USDA and, you know, the My Plate, which replaced the food pyramid, I like My Plate because it's simple to understand. They use a plate that's divided roughly in quarters, and, you know, half of the plate would be the fruit and vegetables, so that makes up, you know, one half. The other half would be, healthy complex carbohydrates and a smaller portion of protein, of meat. And the dairy product, you know, whether it be a low-fat milk or a yogurt, that's kind of up in the periphery. What's missing from the plate is most of our favorite treats.
Yes.
You know, sugar and ice cream, especially this time of year. Who doesn't love it? And there's no mention of fats or alcohol, which I do believe in consuming in moderation is okay. You know, I'm a professor at Kane University, so I have, 18 to, 25, 30 that age group, and they're, you know, they're always asking me about, you know, what do I eat and what can I eat? And I said, listen, I like a burger and a beer as much as you all do, but I might do it once the entire summer. I don't do this every week. I don't eat like this every week.
I think moderation is a great point. And there's plenty of studies that show red wine is good. You know, we could find a study to justify wine for sure. I'm half Italian, so I had to justify the wine.
Well, I'm all Italian, so.
We've got to justify that wine on the table. But there are a lot of studies that show in moderation a glass of red wine actually could be, it certainly won't do anyone much harm.
No, it won't do anyone much harm. No, I won't say go out and get a bottle of red wine just to get the antioxidant.
There's plenty of other ways for that.
Yeah, you can eat grapes. The same thing is true with dark chocolate, though I don't hear a lot of people saying, well, this is my favorite dark chocolate. But it's good, again, in moderation. You want to limit it to maybe one square, or you will start to gain weight, you know, not the whole bar.
Well, I'm a baker, Monica, and I trick a whole lot of people because when I bake, they, you know, anyone who's listening to my show, if anyone's listening to my show, they probably will be suspect the next time they eat my brownies, cookies, or muffins. But what I do is brownies, for example, I don't use oil. I use applesauce. Applesauce I make myself. And the chips and the brownies are dark chocolate. And the cocoa, guess what? It's dark chocolate, unprocessed. It goes through a Dutch process, so it's milder. So there are certainly a lot of ways we could still have that little bit of fat or that little bit of sweetness. And they're made with the same amount of love. It's just less fat. Yep. It's just better for everyone. So I agree with you. I think when you deny people that, you know, you can't have any ice cream, you can't have that, you know, chocolate milkshake, then they get a little crazy. And then they have five milkshakes or, you know, five servings when just a little bit would satisfy them.
Absolutely. I know I do that, you know, guilty as charged. So I think your recipes sound divine. I have done similar things. I have substituted tofu. I have a recipe.
Monica, really?
Yes, yes. tofu cheesecake. I will send you my recipe for zucchini brownies.
Oh, fantastic. And we'll post it on our Facebook.
By all means.
Excellent, excellent.
And if we're posting recipes, then I will also send you my tofu scrambled egg recipe.
Right. I can't promise I'll try it, but I'll post it.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. My students say it sounds vile until they make it.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to those. And I know that you wanted to share a quote from Francis Collins.
I do. I really love this because this describes perfectly the interaction between our environment and our genetics. So this is what Francis Collins says. He says, our genetics loads the gun, but it's our environment that pulls the trigger.
Excellent. That is excellent. I'm really glad that you shared that. And I think that ties the piece for our listeners who maybe thought genetics had a higher component when considering their health than it actually does. And again, to remind our listeners, it's under 10%.
It's under 10%.
So it's really the environment that we have to think about. And the parts of our environment that we can control, and I know we're going to be talking after the next break, we're going to be talking about some of the social factors and the ways that we can control our environment and health. So I hope everyone stays with us for that. We're going to go to our news now, and then when we come back, we are going to be talking about some of the things about how people live and their social and economic status. And for those who don't know, obviously, my name is Georgine Trinkle, but I work with people in poverty every day. And a lot of times we have our, I consider them our underserved population, people that are in poverty that have so many more risk factors in their lives and so little control over those risk factors. So Monica, we're going to talk about that, and I'm so glad that we're able to talk about these predictors in health. So stay with us.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Republican presidential field is up to 9, and South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is the latest to throw his hat in the ring. He launched his bid earlier today, and most of his address focused on foreign policy.
Simply put, radical Islam is running wild. They have more safe havens, more money, more capability, and more weapons to strike our homeland than any time since 9/11.
He also expressed concern about a possible nuclear deal with Iran. The Senate failed to extend the NSA program that gives it authority to collect Americans' phone records in bulk. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who has been an outspoken critic of the program, says it infringes on the rights of Americans.
I think people do use fear to try to get us to give up our liberty. And this was the whole thing that Benjamin Franklin debated, whether or not we should trade our liberty for security and sometimes get neither.
He spoke in a Fox News interview. This is USA Headline News.
Now that Rite Aid is part of the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is more rewarding than ever. Why? Because now Wellness Plus with Plenty gives you a second way to save with Plenty Points, which works similar to Plus Up Rewards, only better. Because Plenty Points can be earned in one place and used for savings at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon and Mobil, and other participating partners. So if you like Plus Ups, you're going to love Plenty Points. Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
Gorgeous! Oh, you are the most beautiful bride I've ever photographed.
Oh!
Yes! I am witnessing a fairy tale unfold!
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Direct Energy. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Qatar has agreed to temporarily extend the travel bans on five senior Taliban leaders released in a prisoner exchange last year. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
A senior U.S. official says the travel ban will remain in place until diplomatic talks produce a long-term solution for the Taliban leaders, who were released from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for captured U.S. soldier Bo Bergdahl. The travel ban was about to expire, and members of Congress repeatedly expressed concern about what would happen if they were free to leave Qatar. At least one of the five allegedly contacted militants during the past year, and the White House confirmed that one has been put under enhanced surveillance. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
At least 41 police and Shiite militiamen are dead after three Islamic State suicide bombers targeted a police base in the western Anbar province. The attack caused a large secondary explosion in an ammunition depot. Meanwhile, the UN mission to Iraq says that more than 1,000 people were killed across the country last month. This is USA Headline News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with a radio transmission. Are you listening to a news radio broadcast right now? Breaking news, folks. Stop listening to that news anchor's jibber-jabber and get the real scoop. My summer meals have 8 pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, new Kentucky Baked Beans, coleslaw, 4 flaky biscuits, and a half gallon of Dole Classic Lemonade, and it is available for purchase. Okay, then. That is the end of my radio communication. Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's finger-licking good.
Limited time offer. Pricing and participation may vary.
A Chinese admiral has strongly rejected U.S. criticism of its activities in the South China Sea. USA's John Clemens reports.
The reclamation activities have been described as what U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter characterized as China being out of step with international norms amid growing tensions in the region. The Chinese admiral, who is the deputy chief of staff of the People's Liberation Army, asserted there are no changes in China's claims in the South China Sea. The growing international tensions brought this response from European Union Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini.
We need to maintain a maritime order based on international law, including the UN Convention on the Sea, on the Law of the Sea. We are not getting into the legitimacy of specific claims, but we are resolute as Europeans on how they should be resolved. That is, peacefully, without the use or threat of force.
I'm John Clemens.
Hillary Clinton is planning her first major speech of her Democratic presidential campaign in New York City. Aides say that in her June 13th address at the Franklin D. Roosevelt Four Freedoms Park, Clinton will describe her vision for the country and attempt to frame the themes of her candidacy. They say she's been long inspired by the work of Roosevelt and his wife, Eleanor. South Korea says the number of people in isolation could rise after having contact with those infected with the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. So far, nearly 700 people are being kept in their homes. There have been 17 reported cases. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunted In. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and I have with me my guest, Monica Falcon, and we're talking about health in the community and genetics and some of the factors. And I'm happy to have Monica, who has a background in a public health environment and works at Keene University, right?
That's right.
Okay. Sometimes the colleges change names, so I just want to make sure that Keene was still Keene.
it still is.
Okay, great. So we're talking about earlier about genetics having less than 10% of one of the factors that comprise our health, and how the social factors really play an important role, and that's a role that really we can control in some areas. But we wanted to talk a little bit about the economic status of individuals that are low income and how that impacts their health. And I know one of the things that's really important is lack of health care access. That's why we see medically underserved areas and medically underserved populations that often they have federal funds to try to build community health centers in those areas because access to health care is so difficult. And Monica, we know how important that is for primary and preventative care.
Absolutely. And it is a serious problem in our country that the Affordable Care Act we hoped would solve. And yes, it has improved access to care. It has some other efficiencies, in the delivery of health care. Certainly, we can say it's made an investment in population health, but we still have, a large proportion of our population that does not have access to regular care, particularly preventative care that we all know is so important, to receive on a regular schedule.
It really is. And sometimes it's the lack of access, sometimes it's the affordability of the access, and sometimes it really is fear. People are afraid to go to the doctor, or they're afraid to confront a health condition that they have because they know they can't deal with the treatment, or they know what you said earlier, Monica, about people who have jobs that they don't get paid when they're sick. So they have to go to work when they're ill. They can't take off to go to the doctor to access a primary care appointment because if they do, they lose their day's wage. And if one day's wage is lost, that often means the rent isn't going to be paid on time.
I think that this is a problem that, middle class people don't fully understand that we can jump in our car. And in fact, I'm going to say something ugly now about our cars. We're all far too dependent on them. But, having them, gives us the flexibility, to see our physicians when we need to, to bring the kids to the doctor. But if you're a low-wage earner and, you're a single mom that maybe has to take two or three buses and then end up walking a couple of miles, you're more than likely not going to, take that amount of time. Usually when a person then does seek medical care, it's because their disease is so far advanced that it's either impossible or difficult to treat, or it's very, very expensive to treat, which is why, we're grateful to have, federally qualified health centers, in different parts of our communities, especially rural areas, inner city areas. But it's not enough. We need more.
It's not enough. I mean, I think about people who need kidney dialysis. The length of time it takes to travel with either public transportation, which is so very limited.
Yes.
It can take 2 to 3 hours to get to an appointment for something that is a life and death appointment, such as kidney dialysis, and then 20 minutes of treatment, and then 2 or 3 hours back. You've spent the whole day on something that is creating so much more stress for a person who's already ill with a significant health issue, now has the burden of trying to figure out the transportation, and it's too much.
Cancer treatment, similar, which is why it's important, where possible in the community, to have navigators that make sure that people, they can arrange things like rides. They can educate them on the importance of getting their treatments, not skipping them. When you're a person who is, kidney dialysis is a perfect example. My father had it for the last 10 years of his life, and sometimes you'd really have to cajole him to go. Because it takes up so much of a person's time, but then again, it's what gives them the time. to continue living.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give a plug. If any of our listeners are thinking about volunteering in the community or not sure how to volunteer, I know RSVP at NorwestCAP and other programs are always looking for drivers to take someone to that medical appointment. So if you live in Hunterdon or Warren County and are willing to transport someone back and forth to their cancer treatment or to a kidney dialysis appointment, because it's out of county, it's really difficult to arrange for transportation. So give NorwestCAP a call at 908-454-7000 or go on our website at www.norwestcap.org and look under volunteer positions. You might be able to save someone's life if you volunteer for that position.
And improve the overall health of your community. So think about it. It's a two-for-one.
Absolutely. We have deals here. We're not selling wine or any of that delicious ice cream we were talking about earlier, but we can give people an opportunity to really help the community be more aware and healthier, and for someone to have a more productive life if they do decide to get the cancer treatment or the dialysis, that really can extend a life. So people really could have an impact.
No, that is absolutely true. And, we would encourage you to do this, particularly, among our population of people that lives in poverty. They need this kind of assistance, to access something that we all take for granted. And, as a result of these people that are living in poverty, their lives are much shorter than the average middle-class person, who in turn, by the way, his life is much shorter than the affluent.
Absolutely. So as we look at our economic factors and we look across the grid at the different ranges of income, certainly does the health increases and the lifespan does increase as we go up the financial ladder. And I know one of those things really is the community in which we're living in. A lot of times people who are in poverty, they can be living where there are many abandoned houses and abandoned properties that aren't being maintained, property where that then becomes a beacon, unfortunately, for illegal activity, drug activity, which is then nearby and easily accessible. And in addition to that, I want to just touch briefly on the housing conditions. So we've heard in the past about lead paint in a house mm-hmm. that may be, built usually around the 60s or the 70s. If there isn't a housing inspection, if you're not getting housing mm-hmm. subsidy and you're getting housing that you can afford, often it's housing that's substandard.
Well, unfortunately, that's true, and not all the lead from these older homes has been abated yet, and, it's a serious neurotoxin, for young children who either ingest it because everything goes in the mouth,
Absolutely.
At a certain age, or they're breathing in the dust. There are also other situations that, make housing substandard, and I just want to talk for a second about poor indoor air quality. Which is a problem, among children and adults, but especially children where their bodies and their lungs are still developing. And, we do have high rates of asthma. In New Jersey, we have high rates of allergy. I think this year is the pollen tsunami.
I haven't seen a clean car yet. Every car is green.
No, and mine including the bottom of my shoes and sweeping the deck and all you see is an inch thick of pollen. And if you're you have respiratory problems, if you have asthma, for instance, this is just an exacerbating condition for you. So if you have decent housing, you close the windows, you put the air conditioning on, you get some relief. If you live in a home with smokers, for instance, you're going to be, twice as sick. And I don't mean twice statistically, literally. I mean you're going to be a little bit more sick than you would normally.
Okay. And those are some important things that we can control when possible, but to be aware of that. And if you are living in a house where you suspect there might be lead, and you're concerned about an infant or a toddler, I know that the New Jersey Department of Health or the Department of Community Affairs, they both could direct our listeners to some programs and information about lead abatement in homes.
Absolutely. I know I worked for many years in the Bronx, and Montefiore Medical Center had a safe house. There was a particular problem in that area with the older homes and the children who were suffering from lead poisoning, so the whole family could live in the safe house while the lead was being abated. I'm sure it exists in New Jersey. You would have to check with your local health department.
But very, very critical information for people who are concerned. So look around your environment and see about your air quality. Maybe you can change the filters, and if you have HVAC or vacuum those screens, get the pollen off the screens on the windows. Those little things can have a huge impact. So we're going to take a break, and then we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Hunterdon County and why it's considered to be the healthiest county in New Jersey. Stay with us.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, and I'm joined with Monica Falcon. Monica, thank goodness this is talk radio, because I don't think we've stopped talking since you came in. Such great information to share with our listeners about the health, and I didn't want to miss a point. We often talk about trying to be green and being aware of our environment, try to save the gas and not have the gas guzzler, kind of schedule our trips around to preserve the unnecessary gasoline that we consume or diesel products. But one thing, when we're talking about individuals that are in poverty, is when you're living in housing, you're renting housing, you don't own a home, you're in an apartment complex, you often don't have the ability to grow your food. But I know we wanted to and should talk about how there are other ways to be able to supplement your diet with nutritious food that you can grow yourself. There's container gardens you can have in front of a window, grow tomatoes. And I know that there's a lot of community gardens. Can you explain just briefly what a community garden is?
Oh, community gardens are a wonderful thing. oftentimes run by the town. They can be run by a local church or maybe a food bank, and they're becoming more and more popular in New Jersey. And what it is that if you're interested, you receive a small plot, usually 8x8, and you will be responsible for planting and working the soil, you know, choosing your crops. You've got to make sure that it's kept, you know, it's kept weeded. And it's good because not only do you get your own fresh produce, but there's opportunities, you know, to socialize with other gardeners, you know, to get some physical activity. There's nothing better than being outside, you know, on a nice day, and you know, kind of just doing that connecting with nature thing, and then, you know, taking your food home to harvest. And it tastes so much better than anything that comes from the store.
It really does. And for those individuals who might be listening and are receiving the SNAP benefit, used to be called food stamps, but it's government. You need an acronym, and you have to change it a lot, and it can never make sense. So for anyone who is getting a SNAP benefit, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, there are farmers markets that will take the vouchers, and in the summer a lot of times they'll be set up in housing authorities and in other easily accessible locations. So take advantage of that. Take advantage of the homegrown, fresh grown. Now, Monica, before we run out of time, I know since it's hot in Hunterdon, we have to tell the Hunterdon story. And there was a report that was released very recently with the county health rankings from Robert Wood Johnson. And what I liked about it was that they didn't just look at one or two factors. I think there were seven factors across the board. But Hunterdon has a pretty good story to tell, doesn't it?
Hunterdon has a great story to tell every year. This year, and I believe it is the second year in a row, Hunterdon came in number one. And they came in on two of Robert Wood's top rankings, you know, one of them being health outcomes, meaning how healthy are we right now, and health factors, also number one, how healthy do we expect our county to be in the future.
It's pretty nice.
So Hunterdon is well positioned. You know, truth be told, you know, it's an affluent county. It's predominantly white, and you know, this is the story we were telling earlier about, you know, minority health and poverty. Hunterdon people are highly educated. You know, at least 75% have attended some college.
That's very high.
This is very, very high. This is leading, you know, leading the state. All of these social factors, you know, really do equate to better health outcomes. However, there are, and people that live in Hunterdon County probably know that, you know, there are pockets of lower income, lower education levels. There are some subpopulations, you know, that do suffer from, you know, some of the health conditions and the effects of poverty that we were talking about earlier. But overall, you know, no, not so much.
And you look at Hunterdon, which borders Warren. Now, I work in Phillipsburg, and I have to admit, I do love Phillipsburg. But we can look at the Superfund sites there. We can look at the brownfield sites. We can look at some of the federal designations and property that's you know, that has been contaminated and you know, hasn't had the affluence of Hunterdon County. And so there are still a lot of properties that are abandoned and a lot of contaminants that are there, and that certainly impacts the health county rankings.
Absolutely does. I mean, Hunterdon is blessed with a lot of green space. Quality of life is quite high. There are adequate number of primary care physicians. Transportation may be, you know, a bit of an issue. There's not, you know, there's not public transportation, but you know, that's a problem, you know, throughout New Jersey. But you know, overall, even since the last county health rankings, which does come out every March, Hunterdon has moved up in like use of preventative services. Its uninsured rate has gone down, so there are about 97% of the people in the county have health insurance.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like there's not enough. I don't know, I feel like if everyone can afford health insurance, what does it say about, you know, having a nice mix?
Oh, no, I completely understand that.
That's a very high percentage. Is that the highest in the state?
Kind of homogeneous. I would assume so.
That's incredible.
when even Morris County, where I live, it is the uninsured population is still higher than that. But you know, things like premature death. I mean, we all want to live as long of a life and as healthy of a life as we can. So premature death is down in the past year in Hunterdon County.
Well, that's good to know.
It's very, very good to know.
It might be here next week for Hunterdon with those rankings.
Well,
Who knows?
Yeah, we kind of hope we will be.
The one thing about Hunterdon, though, is that if you don't look at the health rankings but look at other reports in Hunterdon County, the number of children in poverty is growing.
I did want to get to some of the negatives, unfortunately, and that is one of them. Unemployment is up, you know, which is unfortunate because it seems to be stabilizing, you know, in the rest of the state. The obesity rate is up, and, you know, we're working so hard, you know, those of us in public health, you know, to get, you know, awareness message out that, you know, it's even losing 10 pounds is going to help lower your blood pressure, lower your blood lipids, extend your life. It'll cut some of those, you know, circulating hormones that, you know, tend to make you more prone to diabetes or, different, inflammations in your body, which we're learning more and more about how they contribute to heart disease. So even 10 pounds is significant weight loss.
One of the things in rural health care or rural health and exercise is we may have green space, but a lot of our roads are rural and they don't have a shoulder, and just going outside to your house to walk is a barrier,
dangerous.
And it's dangerous.
And this is something that I wanted to get to, and I'm so glad you brought this up because this comes back, you know, a lot to public policy and to zoning laws, you know, in our particular communities. So we want safer places to exercise. Sidewalks are a good thing.
Sometimes they are. But if in the absence of not being able to go outside to walk, even doing exercises in your home, or if you're out and about and you pass a park on your way, I know I get frustrated. I don't like to drive somewhere to run or, you know, I don't mind it on my way, but that separate trip sometimes seems to me like I'm really not that far ahead as I want to be. But those health factors are really important, and I warned you, Monica, radio time goes faster than any other time.
Yes,
and
it does.
We are just about wrapping up it here at Hot and Hunterdon, but I wanted to thank everyone for listening to us today talk about health, and it is a serious topic, but I think it's something that we pay attention to, and we are very conscious about the decisions that we make, that we can move to be healthier individually and as a community, being aware of the green space and being aware of lead paint and other risk factors. But I wanted to thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your experience, how wonderful it is that you are so passionate about public health and about looking at our factors, and I appreciate you sharing this information with our listeners.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Great, and I hope everyone stays to listen to Ruth Ann for her celebration hour, which is coming up next, and she has something about board games and finding out how this will decrease drug abuse. So not exactly sure about that. So like all of you, I'm going to listen to Ruth Ann's celebration hour. So stay with us.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you. through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Republican presidential field is up to 9, and South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is the latest to throw his hat in the ring. He launched his bid earlier today, and most of his address focused on foreign policy.
Simply put, radical Islam is running wild. They have more safe havens, more money, more capability, and more weapons to strike our homeland than any time since 9/11.
He also expressed concern about a possible nuclear